Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zichu Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel, the third parak Ulav HaGazel. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis stated, Nikdam Roshu Pasul. If the top of the Hadas is clipped off, it's Pasul. On our Daf, Ulav Bar Chinan will qualify the Mishnah with the following Brisa, Nikdam Roshu, but also about Tamara Kasher. If its top was clipped off, but a date grew on it, the Hadas is kosher. Rashi explains that the Hadas sometimes sprouts small green date-shaped buds, which are similar to the buds that grow on a rubber stems at the bases of its leaves. When the bud sprouts, the Hadas is considered to have regained its beauty. Rabbi Yirmi asks what the halakha is if its top was clipped off before Yontav and a date grew on it during Yontav. Yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs or lo? Is there a permanent rejection in regard to mitzvahs or not? The concept of dichui, which applies in regard to kachim, is that once an object is disqualified from use in a specific service, it is permanently rejected, even if the reason for disqualification ceases to exist. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yirmi is uncertain, since the case in Chulin stated that if blood was covered by earth via wind and then became uncovered again, a person is chayv to cover to fulfill the mitzvah kisui adam. But Papa said that this implies ein dichui etzel mitzvahs. There is no permanent rejection in regard to mitzvahs. So the Gemara answers that Rav Yirmi was inquiring about Rav Papa's inference. Does ein dichui etzel mitzvahs apply only to chumras such as this case of kisui adam, or even relates to a kula such as this chadas case, because it would permit this chadas to be used? The Gemara leaves it as a teiku, but later does resolve part of the question. Point number two, as Tana Brisa, Ema Matim B'Yontav, we may not decrease the berries from Hadasim on Yontav, but it was reported in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that we may decrease them on Yontav. The Gemara questions Rabbi Elazar's opinion, V'ha K'masakam Mana B'Yontav, but one is thereby repairing a kli on Yontav. Rav Ashi answered that we're dealing with the case where one plucked the berries for the purpose of eating them. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds like his father who said, Davar Sheinu Miskaven, Mutter. The Gemara objects because Abai and Rabbah both said, Rabbi Shimon concedes, that one is chayv in a case of psik reisha v'loyamus. The Gemara answers that we're dealing with the case of de'es le'hoshana achrisi, where the person has another hoshana with which he can do the mitzvah. Since it's irrelevant to him whether this hadas is valid, plucking the berries is not considered a repair. And point number three is Tana Braisa, Arvi Nachal Hagedilin al Hanachal. The term brook willows refers to arabos that grow by a brook. Another pshat is sha'ala shala mashuch nachal, that is a type of rubber whose leaf is elongated like a brook. It was taught in another brisa that the plural form of arvi nachal teaches that rubbers are not only kosher if they grow by a brook, but they're also kosher if they grow in fields or mountains. Abba Shaul said, arve shtayim, the plural form of arubos, implies two arubos are acquired, one for the mitzvah of lulav and the other one for the mikdash, to instruct the mizbeach with arubos each day of sukkahs. The Rabban hold that the mitzvah of Rabbos in the Mikdash is halacha Moshe Mesinai. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis stated, Nikdam Rosho Pasul, if the top of the Hadas is clipped off, it's Pasul. On our Daf, Ulav Bar Chinan qualify the Mishnah with the following Brisa, Nikdam Rosho, but also about Tamara Kasher, if its top was clipped off, but a date grew on it, the Hadas is kosher. Rashi explains that the Hadas sometimes sprouts small green date-shaped buds, which are similar to the buds that grow on a rubber stems at the bases of its leaves. When the bud sprouts, the hadas is considered to have regained its beauty. Rabbi Yirmi asks what the halacha is if its top was clipped off before Yontav and a date grew on it during Yontav. Yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs or lo? Is there a permanent rejection in regard to mitzvahs or not? The concept of dichui, which applies in regard to kachim, is that once an object is disqualified from use in a specific service, it is permanently rejected, even if the reason for disqualification ceases to exist. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yirmi is uncertain, since the case in Chulin stated that if blood was covered by earth via wind and then became uncovered again, a person's chayv to cover it to fulfill the mitzvah of kisui adam. Rav Papa said that this implies ein dichui etzel mitzvahs. There is no permanent rejection in regard to mitzvahs. The Gemara answered that Rabbi Yirmi was inquiring about Rav Papa's inference. Does ein dichui etzel mitzvahs apply only to chumras, such as in this case of kisui adam, which would require doing the mitzvah, or even when it leads to a kula, such as this hadas case, because it would permit use of this type of hadas? The Gemara leaves it as a take, but later does resolve part of the question. Point number two is Tana Braisa, Ema Matim Yontav, we may not decrease the berries from hadasim on Yontav, but it was reported in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that we may decrease them on Yontav. The Gemara questions Rabbi Elazar's opinion. But one is thereby repairing a kli on Yontav. Rav Ashi answered that we're dealing with a case where one plucked the berries for the purpose of eating them. And Rabbi Shimon holds like his father who said, Davar Sheinu Miskaven, Mutter. The Gemara objects because Abai and Rabbah both said that Rabbi Shimon concedes that one is chayev in a case of psik reisha v'loyamus. The Gemara answers that we're dealing with the case of de'es le'hoshana achrisi, where the person has another hoshana with which he can do the mitzvah. Since it's irrelevant to him whether this hadas is valid, plucking the berries is not considered a repair. And point number three, Rastan Abraisa Arve Nachal Hagidilin O Hanachal. The term brook willows refers to arabos that grow by a brook. Another pshara is Sha'ala Shala Mashu Kanachal, that it is a type of arabo whose leaf is elongated like a brook. It was taught in another braisa that the plural form of Arve Nachal teaches that arabos are not only kosher if they grow by a brook, but they're also kosher if they grow in fields or mountains. Abba Sha'ol said Arve Shtaim. The plural form of arabos implies two arabos are required, one for Luv and the other one for the Mikdash, to encircle the Mizbeach with arabos each day of Sukkot. The Rabban hold that the mitzvah of arabos in the Mikdash is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. All right, so now we go to Simfer Daf Lamed Gimel, and our standard simon has to do with a leg, and we use a peg-leg pirate, a pirate with a peg leg. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate who got angry after he clipped off the top of the hadas and saw a new bud begin to grow on Yantiv got distracted pulling off all its berries to eat, that his ship got grounded in a willow brook. Once again, it's slow motion. The peg-leg pirate, that must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who got angry after he clipped off the top of the hadas and saw a new bud begin to grow on Yantiv, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked what the halacha is if the top of the hadas was clipped off before Yantiv and a date grew on it during Yantiv. Yesh dichui eitz mitzvahs or lo? Is there a permanent rejection in regard to mitzvahs or not? The concept of dichui, which applies in regard to kachim, is that once an object is disqualified from use in a specific service, it is permanently rejected, even if the reason for disqualification ceases to exist. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yirmiyah is uncertain, since the case in Chulin regarding kitzui dam implies ein dichui eitzel mitzvahs, there is no permanent rejection in regard to mitzvahs. The Gemara said that Rabbi Yirmiyah was inquiring whether ein dichui eitzel mitzvahs apply only to chumras, such as in the case of kitzui dam, or even what leads to a kula, such as the hadas case. The Gemara leaves it as a take, but later resolves part of the question. So the peg-leg pirate who got angry after he clipped off the top of the hadas and saw a new bud begin to grow on Yantiv got distracted pulling off all its berries to eat. Which reminds us, the Gemara questions Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon, who holds that one may pluck berries off a hadas on Yantiv. But one is thereby repairing a kli on Yantiv. Rav Ashi answered that we're dealing with a case where one plucked the berries for the purpose of eating them. Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon holds like his father, who said, Davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. When the Gemara objects, because Abai and Rabbi both said Rabbi Shimon concedes that one is chayv in a case of psik resh v'liyamus, it answers that we're dealing with a case of de'ezli hoshana achrisi, where the person has another hoshana with which he can do the mitzvah. Since it's irrelevant in whether this hadas is valid, plucking the berries is not considered a repair. So the peg-leg pirate got angry after he clipped off the top of the hadas and saw a new bud begin to grow in Yantiv, got distracted pulling off all its berries to eat, that his ship got grounded in a willow brook. Which reminds us, we learn many dinim of arabos from the pasuk of Arve Nachal. The term brook willows refers to arabos that grow by a brook. Another pshat is Sha'ala Shala Mashul Chanachal, that's a type of arabo whose leaf is elongated like a brook. And the plural form of Arve Nachal teaches arabos are not only kosher if they grow by a brook, but they're also kosher if they grow in fields and mountains. And Abba Sha'ol said Arve Shtaim, the plural form of arabos implies two arabos are required, one for the luv and the other one for the mikdash to encircle the mizbeach with arabos each day of Sukkot. The Rabban hold that the mitzvah of arabos in the mikdash is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So once again, the peg-leg pirate who got angry after he clipped off the top of the hadas and saw a new bud begin to grow on Yantiv got distracted pulling off all its berries to eat, that his ship got grounded in a willow brook. All right, now it's time for a four-blot back chazora. Daf chavtes. So the simur chavtes is a cot. So here goes. As the empty cot, that must be more than daf chavtes. As the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa that if one was eating in a sukkah and it began raining and he left the sukkah and continued his meal in his house, that even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back into the sukkah until he finishes his meal and wishes to eat another meal. Rashi explains that once he sat down to continue his meal, he's no longer chayev to return to the sukkah, even if it stops raining. And similarly, if one was sleeping in the sukkah and began raining and he left his sukkah and went to sleep in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back to the sukkah until it becomes light when dawn begins to break. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief, which reminds us the Mishnah brought a mushroom from when one is forced out of the sukkah because of rain, to what is compared to a slave who came to pour wine for his master, and he poured a pitcher of water on his face. The Gemara here brings a brice that clarifies that it's as if the master spilled a pitcher of water on the slave's face and said to him, I don't desire your service. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief, who tried to sneak in and steal his lulav. Which reminds the opening mission of the third parak states, a lulav ha-gazel v'hiyavish puzzle. A stolen lulav or a dry one is puzzle. The Gemara asks regarding a stolen lulav that it's understandable that on the first day of the chag, It's possible because it's written lechem. You shall take for yourselves on the first day the dal of meaning, which implies mishalechem. They should be your own property. But why on the second day of the chag should a stone ulua be pasul? Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shimon bar Yochai, mishum dehavli mitzvah haba ba'aver, because it's a mitzvah that's brought about through an avera. An object that's acquired through an avera is unfit for use in the performance of a mitzvah. Daf Lamed. So the simmer Daf Lamed is a melamed, or a rebbe. So here goes. The rebbe, that must be more in Daf Lamed, melamed. The Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmudim paid the toll, which reminds us that the source for a mitzvah haba ba'aver comes from a comparison in the pasuk that links stolen offerings to lame ones, just as a lame animal cannot be repaired as the blemish renders it permanently unfit to be offered, so too a stolen offering cannot be repaired, and it makes no difference whether it's before Yeush or after Yeush. The more then brings the mush of a king paying his own tolls to serve as an example to travelers to not avoid the tolls, with the nimshal being that Hashem wants Yidden to learn from him to distance themselves from theft. So the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stone loving being used on the second day of Sukkot, which reminds us that the Gemara brings Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, who said in the name of Shmuel that a stone lulav is only possible on the first day of Yantav. But on the second day of the Chag and thereafter, the rule is that since a person can be Yotze with a bold lulav, he can be Yotze with a stolen one. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani holds that the only reason a stolen lulav cannot be used on the first day is the Torah's requirement that it be his own property. Just as on the second day he may use a borrowed lulav, he may use a stolen one. So the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulav being used on the second day of Sukkot, while a nearby merchant instructed Nachman to cut hadassim twigs before giving them to him. Which reminds us of Rav Huna's guidance to the Dal of Meaning merchants regarding selling hadassim, that they should let the Nachrim cut the twigs themselves, since Nachrim generally steal the land in which the hadassim and trees grow, but karka ain't in exelis, but land cannot be stolen. This way, the Yeish Balim will be in the Nachri's hands, and then Shinui Rishus will be in the merchant's hands. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Sim Daf Lamed Aleph is the law. We use a judge. So here goes. The woman screaming at the judge, judge, that must be more Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen, which reminds us that the Braisa stated, Gazal Eitzim V'sicha Behen Divrei Kol Einu El Deme Eitzim. If one stole pieces of wood and made a sukkah with them, all agree that the original owner has the right to receive only the value of the wood, and the robber may keep the sukkah. And the Gemara brings an incident of the elderly woman who screamed at Rav Nachman, who was sitting in a sukkah made of wood that was stolen from her, and he told her that all she gets is the Deme Eitzim. So the woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation and told her they were kosher. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa yavish pasul, Rabbi Yehuda makshir. A dry lulav is pasul, but Rabbi Yehuda is makshir. Rava said that the machlokes pertains to a lulav, but not to the esrog. The Rabban Sabre makshin lulav le'esrog, for the Rabban hold that we make a hekesh between the lulav and the esrog as follows. Ma esrog by hadar, af lulav by hadar. Just as the esrog requires beauty, so to the lulav requires beauty, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do not make the hekesh and the lulav does not require beauty. Rava continued, however, concerning the esrog, everybody agrees it requires beauty. The Gemara refutes this on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is makshir, an old esrog. So the woman, screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen, became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation and told her they were kosher and not to worry that the lulav is split. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chavtes Amabeh stated in Nikdam Rosh Pasul, if the lulav's top is clipped off, it's pasul. Rav Huna said they only taught this concerning the case where the top is actually clipped off, aval nistak kosher. But if it was merely split, the lulav is kosher. When a brice is brought that says a split lulav is pasul, Rav Papa answered that the brice refers to a case where the lulav was made like a hymnok. Rashi explains the brice is not referring to a lulav whose leaves have split open, but rather to a lulav that grew in the shape of a hymnok, which is a metal tool used by sofering that is forked at one end. If the lulav grew in the shape, it appears to have two spines with the leaves reaching in opposite directions. Such a lulav is pasul, but a lulav whose leaves have split open is kosher. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist working in a sukkah lab. Mad scientist in a lab? That must be more in Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split, which reminds us, Rav Papa asks, what the halakha is in a case where the tumas is split all the way down to the spine so that the top of the spine is split. The Gemara gives two different versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, one suggesting that the tumas is kosher, whereas if it was removed, it'd be pasul. The other one saying that a split tumas is as if it's removed. So the mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split ended up producing a mutant thorny lulav, which reminds us, Ravina said to Ravashi, on what basis do we know that kapos tamarim requires us to take a lulav, which is the pliant palm branch whose leaves hug its spine? So a number of alternatives are suggested which are rejected, one being that the Gemara asks, Ve'ema Kufra, but say the pasuk refers to a palm shoot, which is a branch that is 1 or 2 years old and has begun to harden, but the stems protruding from it still can be bent back and tied to it. Abai said, its ways are pleasantness and all its pathways are peace. Rashi explains that since a palm shoot has thorny projections, it's unpleasant for one to hold. So the mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav, where the tumor was never split, ended up producing a mutant thorny lulav that was plaited like a braid and looked more like a hadas. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brisa regarding identifying a hadas anav eitz avos sha'anafav chofim es eitzo. The term of shoot of the plaited tree refers to a species whose shoots cover its branches, which is a hadas. Another Brisa stated that the term shoot of the plaited tree implies kalua can mean klia v'domun shalshelas, that the tree's leaves are plaited like a braid and similar to an interlocking chain. And this is a reference to hadas. The Gemara asks, what's the case of a twig that's plaited? And Rav Yudah said, it's where the leaves stand, trasa trasa tarpe bikina, in clusters of three on each base. Rav Gana said, afilo trevachad, even if they stand in pairs, with the third one overlapping each pair. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.